Executives don't buy sticky notes or daily stand-ups. They buy results. But here's the twist. Most executives aren't rejecting Agile. They're rejecting the way it is explained to them. Today, let's talk about the Agile mindset that executives actually buy into. During my project management journey, I've been truly blessed to have some amazing leaders and managers. I always have goals every time I begin a new project. The goal in this particular project was to become the kind of leader executives could trust with real decisions. One day during my 101, I told my manager, my leader about a decision I might have to make. That'll make sense later in the story, family. I wanted his guidance, but instead of handing me the answer like a vending machine of wisdom, he asked, "Did you discuss this with your team? How many options did you consider? And what was your final call?" I explained my process, feeling pretty proud of myself and therefore expected him to take over from there. Instead, he leaned in. He said something that stuck with me even till today. He said, "Edward, I hired you because I believe in what you bring to the team. My role isn't to micromanage. It is to ask the right questions, verify when it's needed, and equip you to make the best decision. But I need you to trust yourself. Clearly show me the process behind your decision so I can fully support you." Now, family, listen, I won't lie. Every time I share this story, I become sentimental because that moment transformed how I saw leadership. It wasn't about control. It was about empowerment. And this, or I should say, with that, I walked out not just with confidence to make a decision, but with a model of what real leadership looks like. See, the model also made me become so obsessed with leadership and empowerment. And that leads us directly into our very first principle. Principle number one, empowering decentralized decision-making. I like that. See, agile organizations trust the people closest to the work to make the tactical decisions. Instead of that top-down structure, it really provides leaders an opportunity to have the vision and eliminate the guardrails. And teams have the autonomy to decide how to achieve the goals. Why is this important? This dramatically increases the speed and quality of the decision. It eliminates bottlenecks in both employment, or I should say employee engagement, and leverages the collective intelligence of the entire organization. Experiment with these expert tips. Set clear decision boundaries, meaning around budget limits, compliance rules. Next one, actively coach managers to stop providing solutions and start asking questions that guide their teams to their own answers. And the last and final one, celebrate fast, informed decisions, even if they weren't perfect. See, this leads us to principle number two, because once you decentralize decision-making inside the team, you realize you need to apply the same mindset externally. Customers aren't just end users, they are partners. Principle number two, view customers as partners, not end users. See, Agile moves behind the occasional focus group. It involves continuous and active collaborations with customers throughout the development process to co-create the solution. They become part of the team. Why is this important? The most effective way to de-risk product development is ensuring you're building something people actually want and willing to willing to pay for, dramatically increasing the odds of market success and customer loyalty. Experiment with these actionable tips. Mandate customer contact. Require product and engineering leaders to spend a minimum number of hours per month in direct conversations with the customers. Next point, include customer and demos. Invite key customers to regular product reviews to get their feedback in real time. And the last and final one, create a customer advisory board. Establish a formal group of influential customers to provide strategic input on your product roadmap. That brings us to principle number three, because you can't create a true customer partnership if your teams aren't trusted. And that's where empowerment versus micromanagement comes in. Principle number three, empower teams, not micromanagement. I know I'm going to get a lot of applause for this, because micromanagement suffocates innovation. It empowers teams thrive when trusted to make their own delivery. I will repeat that again. Empower teams thrive when trusted to make their own delivery. See, why is this important? Executives want accountability, but they also want results faster. Trusting teams achieve both. Experiment with these actionable tips. Invite executives to sprint reviews, not daily scrum. Again, family, sprint reviews is we're showing the product. With our sprint review, we're allowing the conversation to be open more wider to have that dialogue about the product or service that we're delivering. Next one, shift leaders from approvers to enablers. Ooh, I like that. Share stories of empowered teams outperforming expectations, which naturally leads us to principle number four, because empowering teams means you also need to empower strategy. Strategy should be treated as a hypothesis, not a fixed plan. Principle number four, treat strategy as a hypothesis, not a fixed plan. See, in a continuous changing market, a rigid five-year plan is a liability. The mindset treats the business strategies as a series of testable hypotheses. You make small investments or bets to learn and adapt based on real market feedback. Why is this important? This approach minimizes the risk of making a single massive bet on an unproven strategy. It allows the organization to pivot intelligently without scraping years of work, saving immense time. And most of the thing they love to hear, and I love to hear, is capital. Experiment with these actionable tips. Frame initiatives as bets with clear assumptions. Next one, measure outcomes, just activities. And the last and final one, pivot when assumptions prove wrong. This leads us into principle number five, because once you have a strategy becomes flexible, roadmaps stop being a prison of deadlines and start becoming a map of outcome. Principle number five, outcome-oriented roadmaps. Instead of what will be delivered by when, roadmaps show why something matters and what impact it will create. See, this is important, family, because executives buy, guess what? Impact, not timelines. Experiment with these actionable tips. Replace Gantt charts with this. Now, next, and later type views. Next one, tie features to business outcomes. And the last and final one, use leading indicators as roadmap checkpoints. This is basically around our customer engagement. See, this takes us directly to principle number six, because none of this works unless your teams feel safe enough to take the risk. And you mind if I raise my hand for this red flag? Principle number six, foster psychological safety. You know I couldn't leave without making sure this is in there, because psychological safety is a shared belief that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. Team members feel comfortable speaking up, asking questions, challenging the status quo, and admitting mistakes without fear of punishment or humiliation. Why is this important? It's the number one predictor of high-performing teams. Without it, you get in a groupthink, hitting problems, and a lack of creativity. With it, you unlock honest feedback, collaboration, and rapid problem solving. Experiment with these actionable tips. Practice active listening. When a team member speaks, listen to understand, not just to reply. Summarize what you heard to confirm your understanding. Next one, express gratitude. Thank individuals publicly for bringing up a difficult problem or providing feedback on a particular opinion. And the last and final one, which is my favorite, replace blame with curiosity. When a problem arises, start with how could this have happened instead of who did this? You know that, finger pointing. Again, how could this have happened instead of who did this? Listen, family, creating that safety net of trust requires a different kind of leadership. And that safety is only possible when leaders see themselves differently, which brings us to principle number seven. Principle number seven, leaders as gardeners, not chess masters. See, the traditional view of leader is a brilliant strategist who's moved people like chess pieces. Agile leader is more like a gardener who cultivates the environment, providing the right nutrients, you know, resources, removing weeds, you know, like impediments, and ensuring enough sunlight. And that's what we call our vision. So the team can grow and thrive on its own. Why is this important? This is servant leadership model is far more scalable and resilient. It builds a capability within an organization rather than creating a dependency on a few heroic leaders. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask, how can I help? Make this first question you ask your team in every interaction. Next one, remove blockers. Dedicate a significant portion of your time to actively identify and remove organizational roadblocks for your team. And the last and final one that is the most important, family, give credit and take accountability and responsibility. When things go well, shine a spotlight on the team. When things go poorly, take public ownership as the leader. And that brings us to our final principle, because gardens only grow when the soil is rich with honesty. This entire system of empowerment, customer focus, and servant leadership is held together by one final crucial principle: transparency over hidden agenda. Principle number 8, transparency over hidden agenda. Agile teams use tools like Kanban boards to make all work planned in progress and done visible to everyone. This transparency extends from the team's task all the way up to the company's strategic goals and the challenges it faces. Why is this important? Visibility is the foundation of trust and alignment. It exposes bottlenecks, it highlights dependencies, and it allows for real-time course correction. When people understand the why behind the work, they see the whole picture, they make better decisions, and they feel more comfortable about making the decisions that align with what is going on within the organization. Experiment with these actionable tips. Create an executive level Kanban board, basically visualizing the major strategic initiatives your leadership team is working on for the whole company to see. Next one, hold open strategy sessions. Invite people from all levels of the organization to listen into the strategic planning conversation. And the last and final one, don't be ashamed. Share the bad news. Be transparent about the challenges and failures as you are about the wins that you're getting. This builds incredible trust and a sense of shared ownership. Well, family, if you stayed this long, I truly appreciate it, because executives, they don't care how many sticky notes you have on the board. They care about whether customers are partners, whether teams feel empowered, and whether the strategy bends without breaking. I like that, because see, the agile mindset they actually buy into isn't about frameworks. It's about a leadership presence. It's about creating an environment where decentralized decisions speed up results, where strategy flexes like hypothesis, where psychological safety drives innovation, and where leaders act more like gardeners than chess masters. Here's today's lessons, family. Executives don't want agile. They want confidence. And confidence doesn't come from control. It comes from clarity, transparency, and trust. And if you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that simply just means Ed. Until next time.